This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Buddy, to Wells Tech. This is episode 390 for April 28th, 2015. I'd think hard what month we're in because spring has just emerged here, so it doesn't feel like that time of year. Sally Draper's joining me as usual. Sally, you have spring over there by you and beautiful New Ulm.
We do.
I saw a
picture
of daffodils on your Facebook page, so they must have something there.
Yeah, the ones that the bunnies didn't eat, we do have a few blooming. I think it was tulips maybe, but my picture was probably kind of blurry. Maybe it looked like daffodil. Spring has arrived. It arrived just in time for the big prom weekend that we just experienced here for Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School and got some nice outdoor pictures for that. So we were pretty thankful it wasn't like earlier last week where we were really chilly, maybe some snowflakes even flittering around.
Last time we talked, wasn't Arbor Day coming up?
It was. We had a nice week for Arbor Day, and then we got cold again. But now we're warm again. We're going to hang on to it because lots of stuff coming up in May. We have May Day here on campus. We have graduation and call services and all of that. So we need it to be pretty and blooming for those purposes.
Yeah, I suspect they're in the home stretch up in New London at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School, where Gail Potratz joins us from. Hi, Gail.
Hello. Yes, we are in the home stretch. I think it's 4 weeks and we'll be done, and there's a lot of activity to be had before those 4 weeks are over, so we're thankful that it's spring as well.
Yep. Been a good school year?
It's been a great school year, one of the best ever.
Awesome. Very good. We have another special Wells teacher joining us today, and that is Rachel Felt. She's teacher at Bethany in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and I believe a first and second grade teacher. Is that right, Rachel?
That is correct, and we've got 5 weeks left here, so maybe I should go up and teach in New London.
It's funny how all these teachers know exactly how long it is to be.
So our conversation today is going to center around using technology or technology applications to teach God's Word and hymnology and where that might enhance or extend the learning that's going on in your classroom. And to that end, we are happy to have Rachel with us to kick off the show because she's going to be joining us this summer. We're having a little conference there in Waukesha, Wisconsin, called Wells Tech Conference. It's our first in quite a while, and we've got a great lineup of speakers, including Rachel. So excited to have her here. And maybe we should start, Rachel, by you just telling us a little bit more about yourself and where you serve and what your interests are, those kind of things.
Sure. I teach first and second grade at Bethany here in Kenosha, and I'm currently working on my master's from WLC. I'm focusing on instructional technology. I'll give my final presentation in 9 days and graduate in 18 days because we teachers do love counting down to things.
Bravo. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
And when I'm not, you know, doing homework, I love technology stuff. I play the piano for church and play the organ, and gluten-free baking is another thing I'm really into. So,
wow,
that's awesome. Nice. I have to say right off the top that it's a wonderful thing to have ladies like yourselves, and I'll include all three of you, interested in technology because you are definitely the minority. So that's awesome.
Very good. And Rachel's going to be doing not just one, but two technology breakout sessions for us at Wells Tech Conference. We're going to keep her super busy. The first one is titled Using Google Apps in WELSA. And that is an interesting niche that I hadn't thought of before, Rachel. Maybe you want to tell us a little bit about what exactly WELSA is and how Google Apps can help you in that process.
Sure. WELSA is the school, the Synod's school accreditation program. So you get to go through, meet all sorts of standards, and then you kind of get the seal of approval when you're all done with that. And my principal has been involved with quite a few like site visits. He's team captain on several of those. And a couple 2 years ago mentioned to me, you know, it'd be really great if we had some more technological tools to help out, because they were using a lot of office type of things and with Word, and it was just really kind of tedious and time-consuming the way they were doing it. It worked, but we knew that if you just do some cloud-based collaborative stuff, it would be a lot better. So that is actually the focus of my master's project at WLC. I've developed quite a few different tools, some of which are being used right now for Wells of Visits, and some of which will be debuted at the conference should you come to my sectional.
Wow, nothing like a little teaser there. I think I might have to drop by. Sounds great. And then particularly applicable to this discussion today on the podcast is another sectional that you're going to be doing called Using Technology in Christlight. Now, I haven't polled Wells schools lately, but I would guess that the vast, vast majority of them use Christlight as a portion or all of their religious curriculum. And extending those lessons and enhancing them with technology is probably something of interest to a lot of people. Maybe you can tell us a little bit of background about why you thought of using technology in Christlight or how you got started with this.
Sure. I was serving as secretary for one of the teachers' conferences down here, and we were talking that particular year about Christlight, and thought, hey, we should really use technology in Christlight. And the more I thought of it, the more I was like, you know, that's the most important thing I'm doing during the day, is teaching my kids about God. And if I think technology is so important, why am I not putting it more into my Christlight lessons? So I actually partnered up with Drew Willems and gave this particular presentation about a year ago. And Drew's got other things to do at Wells Tech this time. So I'm going solo with hopefully lots of new ideas and some old ideas for just how to make our teaching of God's Word even better in our classrooms.
So give us a little sneak peek. What are some of those ideas that you can share? You don't have to share everything, but just enough to whet our appetite.
Sure. One of the things I love doing the most is finding visuals. I think having some sort of a picture or something that the kids can connect to is really important. And one of my favorite places to do that is freebibleimages.org, which I know has been mentioned on a couple of different Wells Tech podcasts. I like that one because you can download them already made as PowerPoints or Keynotes, and they've got actual photos. So it's not just drawings, but photos of real people, which I think gives the kids a little more, hey, that really did happen, when they're seeing the real people. And I'm hoping to get all of those photos into Google Slides so that they can be easily shared with people. And if you were to come to my sectional, you just might get a link to that. Nothing like, you know, selling my sectional.
No, that's why we got you on.
Another thing I really like to do is just the use of the application. You know, why are we learning this lesson? What was the most important part? And in my classroom, we kind of go a little bit low tech with that. And we do paper and pencil journaling, where they get to, after every lesson, write about why they thought the lesson was important. But if you were to move that up to the bigger, older kids who have Chromebooks and things like that, blogging would be an excellent way to do that, if they could start their own kind of spiritual blog as far as, you know, how they're feeling about the lesson, how it applies to their life. I think that'd be a really neat thing for them to look back on in future years and just say, hey, this is how this applied to me back then, and see how it's changed.
Cool.
Excellent.
two-part question then. How has this increased, or has it increased, your prep time? And two, what's the reaction been from the kids?
Doing anything new always increases prep time at first. But the really nice thing is once I get, you know, everything set, the Bible doesn't change, so my lessons don't change too much. You know, the applications have to change here and there, but other than that, you can kind of, once you get it set, you're good to go.
So you're capturing that in some kind of system where you can go back next year and find the same.
Exactly. I do a lot in Google Slides, especially with all the images, and then you can easily just file them away, use them for next year, share them with your friends, all that great stuff. Mm-hmm. And as far as the kids, they definitely like it more when they've got something to look at other than me, something a little more interesting. And they really seem to connect with that a lot more.
Excellent. Well, Rachel, we're really looking forward to welcoming you and meeting you in person at Wells Tech Conference this summer, and going to keep you busy, but hopefully you'll have a little time to absorb some new things in some of the other sectionals that you're able to attend as well.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Thanks, Rachel. Blessings on your work. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, that's a great kickoff to a God's Word and hymnology discussion, yes. I think. And maybe, Gail, we might go right to the Christlight resources that you're aware of, specifically for SmartBoard. You had some examples to share.
Right, because what she said is so true, what Rachel mentioned, how the kids will get very much more involved when they have a visual, and then if you add an interactive type activity with that, that really makes for quite a nice lesson. I can't take the credit for the lessons I'm going to show you because I didn't develop them. I'm not a homeroom teacher, so that means I don't actually teach religion. So I haven't for quite some time worked with technology in my own religion things. But Chris Ladwig is our third, fourth, and sometimes fifth grade teacher. She moves around in that area, and she's developed some really neat smart board. I think she has them for the whole series. So I did bring some to show you today, so I will try to pull them up.
While you're pulling those up, I'll just note that we'll have links to a page on the Wells Tech Wiki where we've posted these three lessons that Gail's going to demo, and you can download these smart notebook files. So if you're a notebook user, look for Hannah and Samuel, The Wedding at Cana, and Jesus Heals the Official Son. Download those, try them out on your smart board, and you know, they may spark some ideas for you to develop your own smart board lessons for extending using the notebook tools and things. So it looks like Gail's switching.
You should be able to see my screen now, I hope.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So this was a lesson of Hannah and Samuel that she had done here. I'm not going to put it full screen, so smart board users probably are going bananas, but I'm just going to do it this way because it's a little easier working this way through. But you can tell she always uses some real artwork. She likes the artistic artwork from the Bible story, so she typically uses that type of material. And then also put some of her own designs into there to prove some of the points in the story. I'll just flip through those quickly. Kids.
So, Gail, is there a reason to use the smart software versus like a PowerPoint? Is there interactivity here, or is it just kind of a tool that they use?
Yes, and I'll get to that in a minute. As we go down a little farther, all of these things are kind of interactive in a way because she has the answers here. She can pop up after the kids actually discuss. But the real advantage is when you get to these, this type of thing, like this is one of the interactive things you can set up. I use this a lot of time with literature, and she uses it here with the Bible story. And basically all it is you reset this, and then you put the things in order so you can have kids come up and manipulate.
Kind of a sorting widget. Yeah, cool.
Right. So that's kind of a cool thing. And then if I can take another look at another one, this was the wedding at Cana. I won't show you the whole thing, but she gets through. There's the wine. And the answer's covered up until the kids say it, and then she can.
So We're just still seeing the Hannah and Samuel.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know what happened there, but.
Oh, well, maybe I have to. I thought I would just be able to. Okay, let's not save that one. Can you see that now?
We see you.
Oh.
So you have to reshare. I think maybe you have to share them individually.
Yeah, must be. I thought we could just go in a row, but apparently not. Okay, so I'll share this one quickly. So these are blocks where she's covered up the answer and such, but I'll get down here to get, again, another interactive. And the Smart Notebook software is just full of these, and you can, you know, apply them to anything that you want. And here, one of the applications of the story was talking about, you know, bodily needs and spiritual needs. And so, again, kids can manipulate, and then you always get a check at the end to make sure your things are in the right place, and you reset them and go again. So these things, of course, like Rachel mentioned, all of these things do take a while to put them together, but they're so worthwhile because they can be used over and over. So once you have them, you know, it's a great tool.
These can be shared? These notebooks can be shared?
Well, that's the one thing about this software. It's not a collaborative thing. Now, so when you say shared, I'm not exactly sure what you mean.
Can somebody else use this at another school, for instance?
Well, we store ours right in our Google Drive. So
right.
If you share them that way, yes, they could be shared.
Okay, yeah, that's what I meant. Yep.
Sure.
Yep, and we have actually three of them posted out on the Wells Tech Wiki. So if you'd like these three that Chris was willing to share with us, you can download those files. You have to have the Smart Notebook software to read the files. But again, I think it's super valuable just to give you ideas about how you can set up your own notebook files for other lessons. So
right.
We really appreciate that she was willing to do that.
Sure. Another neat thing she has is a random word chooser. Smart has a nice random word chooser, and she's got all the class names in there. So she'll have that in quite a few of the Smart Notebook things when they have an opportunity to share something, and they don't, you know, you can't listen to everybody. So you're going to take five today, and it's random. And so their name comes up, not because the teacher called on them, but because it's just a random word chooser. And so that's kind of a neat thing to throw in there, too.
That is. Well, we should probably move along then and talk more about other applications, websites, that kind of thing that you can use for studying God's Word. And I know in the past on this Wells Tech Goes to School series, we've organized things by age group, but it seems a little more difficult. Some of the things are obviously geared towards youngsters, but a lot of the Bible resources are for really any age, or perhaps are very applicable for the teacher to do their prep work using and that kind of thing. For instance, let's see if I can share my screen this time, and I'll just go through these kind of quickly. One site that we've talked about in the past is Bible Geocoding, where you can actually look at maps of all of the locations mentioned in any book of the Bible or the entire book of the Bible, and it provides KML maps that you can download for Google Earth use, and also you can look at the maps interactively in the web browser and see different locations that are mentioned. This is just looking at one particular chapter. So Matthew 1 was in this particular location, but you can get all kinds of geocoding information on this website. We tagged the What About Jesus website, where there's all kinds of great information, questioning God, life concerns, things like that. Maybe for older students, people who haven't been exposed to the Bible before, whatever your teaching scenario might be, lots of great information here on the whataboutjesus.com website, which is done by Wells Evangelism Office. Let's see what else I have. I tagged Luther's Echoes of the Hammer. I think we talked about this on the show before, where Concordia Publishing House put out kind of a graphic novel around the stories around Luther at the time of the Reformation. So a great resource that's available from Concordia there, Echoes of the Hammer. And then, Gail, I think both you and I got around to some visual type things and also some creative things. So having your students extend the lesson by creating things. So a few I have to mention here, 66 Clouds is a place where you can order posters. They're basically of the 66 books of the Bible. And they took the words and made word clouds of them. So you can get posters and other versions of other different delivery of these word clouds on different bookmarks or whatever. And these would be great to decorate your classroom with or whatever, to bring home the words of the Bible in a unique way in this word cloud method. And you could even use a tool like Wordle, right, Gail, to make your own word clouds.
Right. We do. We use the Wordle tool a lot for a section of scripture. Like, you know, you're reading a section and you'll get the same thing where the prominent words show up, which is kind of neat. We try to do the kids' confirmation passages. Examination is tonight, in fact. So this Sunday's confirmation at our church, and I like to take the kids, the eighth graders, and have them do different things with their own passages, whether it's Wordle or whether it's the wall poster that we have in there, too, to look at. It's nice when they can really make parts of Scripture really decorate it up and make it personal. It's something they have chosen to remember. And they can put that poster up in their bedroom or wherever. And that type of thing I do a lot of things with the kids.
Good. Another image-based one, just something you could order a poster of. This is a look at the books of the Bible, kind of like the periodic table of elements, where they've organized them with different colors representing different types of books. And then for each book, if I can zoom in here, it tells you the number of chapters and verses, the date of the writing, the author, and the traditional author in italics, if there's a traditional author. So interesting layout and visual way to display the books of the Bible in your classroom. Something fun there. Another website we've talked about before is a person who just took it upon himself to represent the books of the Bible in different ways. Imagery, using different imagery. And many of the images are just super high quality. Maybe not all appropriate for your classroom, but I think you could certainly have discernment and choose ones that would be appropriate. So a neat way to display some imagery. And I don't know, I think it's called Word Designs. And we'll have links in the show notes to all of these. So from sophisticated imagery, we also don't want to miss out on representing things with Lego bricks, because there's a website called The Brick Testament where you can go book by book and find Lego brick images that represent things like the story of creation. And this could be really popular with your kids to see the story of creation unfold using Lego bricks and little clouds with discussion there.
And so the kids can actually do that themselves. You know, you can take an iMovie, and you can set up the stories. Kids can bring in their Legos, and they create the different scenes. And you can take that and, you know, take still photos and then make a iMovie out of that. That's a real fun thing for kids to do.
Sure. So, and this could be an example they could look at to do their own thing.
Sure.
Many more resources, just general Bible resources, like BiblePlaces.com, which shows imagery of the actual places. Martin, you were going to share with us the YouVersion Bible app. I have it tagged here.
I was, but I'm having trouble getting my iPhone to show up on my screen. So.
Well, okay. While you're working on it, I can tell you about that app because we use that all the time.
That'd be awesome.
The YouVersion people have put out a kids' version of Bible stories. And what we do, too, is use it on the... We have the app on our iPad in the preschool and kindergarten room, and then they take it and they use AirServe to get it onto the screen, and then that's how they view it. But what it is just animated characters, and kids can actually touch the screen, and then, well, okay, so you touch the cow, and the cow moves, or you can move people around, people move, things pop out. So as the Bible story is being told, there's all of this animation and activity and action around it, and the kids simply love it. They can't put out the Bible stories fast enough for them. They started with just a few of the basic Bible stories, and then the YouVersion people are slowly adding stories to the app, and as soon as one comes out, we'll use it, I'm sure, because that is a huge hit in the little grades at our school.
I played with it myself this week on my iPad, but I can't get my iPad to show on the screen either, so we're just technically challenged. But I have to tell you that, you know, being a mom, I always was a little leery of children's Bibles, and maybe they weren't exactly in agreement with what God's Word really says. And one of my litmus tests for children's Bibles was to read the story of the fall into sin and to find out if they mention, you know, that he will crush your head and that kind of thing when they're talking about it. And this YouVersion Bible very clearly mentions the consequences of sin, but that the offspring of the woman will crush your head and that kind of thing. So I was really excited. It passed my litmus test of good children's Bibles. So lots of good stuff there.
Cool. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get this thing to work, so.
And your microphone is misbehaving, too.
No, everything's going.
Just one of those days.
Let me fix it.
All right, I'm gonna plow on then and mention one app that I've mentioned before on the show that I found and really enjoyed is Granny's Bible Dojo. What a name, huh? They have it for iOS. I'm not sure if it's available for Android or not, but Granny walks you through the books of the Bible and memorizing them, and you basically break boards by touching your screen in the correct order for the books of the Bible, and she drills you and you earn all kinds of great prizes in Granny's closet, and it's a fun way to practice memorizing the books of the Bible and doing it really fast because she keeps up with your speed and that kind of thing. So Granny's Bible Dojo.
I played with that over the weekend as well. I did a Bible study on digital devotions at our church on Sunday, and that was one of the ones that I brought up. But I was wondering, are there other ones other than books of the Bible, or is that just the only one?
That's the only one I'm aware of.
It would
but
be
that's
ripe
a
for a
question.
Series of all kinds of things that that you could use that for. So that's cool.
Another thing too that I wanted to bring up is I saw in the notes. Sally, you had Audacity listed in there way up at the top. That reminded me of audio possibilities for working with kids with in the Bible story areas. One idea that I could pass along that I heard at a conference was having kids do interviews of Bible characters. And you can either, you know, you can put that into a visual too if you want to, but you could just do audio. And after a certain Bible story that you've studied, then you have an interviewer, and you can interview the characters in the story or whatever you want to do with that, too. I think I have not had an opportunity to try that in, you know, in Word of God, but I think that would be a very rich activity to help kids remember the characters and the importance of what they learned from the story.
Yeah, great idea, great idea. Just a couple more mobile mentions. Concordia Publishing House has put out catechism.cph.org, and it's mobile friendly. So it's basically a website that's optimized for mobile viewing, but it is Luther's Catechism. There's a menu here. You can get to all the different components of the catechism, and they display perfectly on iPad and iPhone size screens, you know, so very mobile friendly. Again, catechism.cph.org. Oh, there you go.
I actually get this to work here. Do you see an iPhone on your screen?
I do. Good.
So this is the catechism, and this is really handy. I think the novelty for the kids, you know, having this on your iPod Touch or your iPhone or whatever would be would be very nice, and what better to have in your pocket than this. I've got a couple of others that I shared. There's a Meditations one that's out, Time of Grace has one, and here is a Bible for Kids that we were talking about. Oh, is it kind of crap out on me? Yep.
That kind of comes in and out.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think that's a fail. But that is a very cool app. So, and free. So.
Yep.
And one more app to mention: Bible Audio Pronunciations. And again, I'm not sure if this is just iOS. I'd have to scroll around and look a little. But all those difficult words, you can just have them pronounce it for you. And that's really nice when you come across some of those intimidating passages with difficult words in them. So Bible Audio Pronunciations. Check out that.
Something else on the pronunciation side, if you use YouVersion, there is narrated versions of that, so if you're in a particular portion of Scripture that has some challenging words, you could hear somebody else read it in a nice, rich British accent. It's one of the things that I like about that, so they can get through it a lot faster than you can.
Looks like we've been talking a long time. I just want to spend just a moment talking about hymnology. Not as many resources to share here, but we've talked before on the podcast about the HymnSoft Player for our Christian Worship and Christian Worship Supplement available from Northwestern Publishing House. A couple of others worth mentioning. iMemorize is a website that you could use to work on your memory work of your hymn verses, so it would kind of reveal or erase some of the words, and the kids would have to fill them in, that kind of thing. And then recommended highly by our friend Rachel Pearson, hymnary.org, especially the Christian Worship page on hymnary.org, and we'll have a link to that. So you can look up whatever hymn you're working on. Maybe you're in the Easter season, and I don't know exactly where that is, but coming up, right on in majesty. I think I'm getting close. Anyway, Christ the Lord is risen again. You can click on a particular hymn, like number 155. You can see it here. You can see who the text and author was, the translator. You can click on the author to read more about. So if you want to, you know, learn more about particular hymn authors, that's available through the website. And I believe MP3s of it maybe here. So lots of resources on hymnary.org, and so be sure to check out the link that we'll provide directly to the Christian Worship section of that website.
I think that's the same one that I sent you, Sally, right?
Right, exactly. So very popular.
It's a good one.
Okay.
I think we made it through a big long list of great resources.
Yep, and you all did not have to furiously scribble those down, because we'll have them all on the wiki, as as Sally mentioned. So
on the show notes, yep.
Yep. Oh, I thought you said we were going to put them on the wiki. No?
The notebook files are on the wiki.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I'll build these on the show notes, since those files are downloadable.
Okay, that sounds good. WellsTech.wells.net is the place to go.
That's right.
We move on to our news and tech section.
Yes, and Martin, I think you were the one who found the fact
Google
has...
I don't know if that's after the Latin or Semper Fi, but Google is getting into the phone business, and at a pretty reasonable price, depending on how you use it. So they've negotiated a deal with Sprint and T-Mobile that if you sign up for their Google Fi service, you'll be on those networks, and you'll kind of switch back and forth depending on your location. One of the neat things about Google Fi is that it also will use Wi-Fi networks. So if you're on a Wi-Fi network, you can transfer calls, or the call will transfer with you. So you have the ability to use that particular service. I believe it's $20 a month to start, and then $10 per every gigabyte that you use. And it's on a usage basis, so if you only use 1 gigabyte, you know, during the month, that's $30. If you use two, it's $40, etc. So there is, I think, opportunity here. The one bad part, well, first of all, it's I don't know that it's totally rolled out yet. Two, you have to use a Google phone, and the only phone that is available right now is the Nexus 6, which, as the name implies, it is a 6-inch phone, so it's one of those whoppers. And so if that's not for you, this service would not be available for you either. I'm assuming over time this will roll out to other phones as well, but this seems like a good thing. Competition is a good thing, and the pricing model I really like, so kind of that pay-as-you-go model makes a lot of sense. So that's the news from Google and Google Fi.
Excellent. We mentioned earlier in the show, we're talking Wells Now. Wells Now is that we have a Wells Tech conference coming up. And I just wanted to highlight a little bit, since this is our EdTech focus show, our school section or track of the conference, including the two sectionals that Rachel Feld will be leading. We also have Dave Test doing something on coding. That one is super popular. There's a lot of people signed up to learn about coding. Apparently, that's a hot topic. Rachel Pearson is going to be there talking about student blogging. We've got Jason Schmidt doing something on flipped classrooms, and Kurt Gosdeck doing Google Classrooms. We have Dr. Jim Grunwall from Martin Luther College coming to talk about online courses through the Area Lutheran High School online service. And there's going to be panel discussions. There's going to be a tablet shootout. So we're going head-to-head, iPad versus Android tablets, with Jason Schmidt and Dave Tess leading the charge on either side. And then Drew Willems, as Rachel mentioned, is going to be busy for us at Wells Tech Conference doing tech planning for schools breakout session. And then the two that Rachel's leading, Google Apps and WELSA and Technology and Christlight. It's a full complement of courses that will help ed tech leaders bring new technology to the classrooms in your school. So be sure to get registered soon over at wells.net/WellsTechConf. And if that wasn't enough incentive, all those great school things, you might want to participate in our brand new raffle. We're raffling off a $25 Amazon card. And there's a link on our giveaways page where you can go log in and either tweet about the conference or visit the site and check out the sectionals and tell us which sectional you're most excited about. There's lots of ways to enter the raffle, and we're going to be giving away that Amazon gift card in the middle of May. So I think you can even enter every day, so one entry per day, but you don't have to just be limited to doing it one time. You can get lots of chances at the Amazon card, so be sure to visit.
I think you can sign up 10 times or 10 times a day. I forget which it is.
Okay.
And you don't actually have to go to the conference either. You just have to follow the rules there to be entered. So you do no purchase necessary.
Just head over to our giveaways page.
Right.
Check it out.
I was wondering if you are going to be saving any of those sectionals or sessions in any way, archiving them or anything.
We hadn't planned to do video of the sectionals, but we will certainly have the resources that the presenters share available in some format. Not sure exactly how all that's going to play out. Maybe Mark.
Those of us
that can't be there are looking at some of those sessions and wishing we could be there.
Yep.
Understandably.
We are live streaming the keynote sessions, but none of the other sessions, unfortunately. Just too many at this point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move along. Oh, we want another entry in our Wells Now section. Is it's graduation time, it's call day time. You know what that means. We'll be doing, or schools will be doing, live streaming. So you can go to the Wells website for that information, or we'll have just watch our site as well for more information on that as well. But MLC is up first, and I believe that is in...
Saturday, May 16th. Yep. When and that Friday night before, they'll have commencement concerts that they'll stream live. But yeah, Saturday, May 16th is the big day. Graduation is at 10 a.m., call service at 2:30 p.m. And then the following week, I believe Tuesday night, May 19th, vicar assignments will be streamed from the seminary. The 21st is the big day for graduate assignments in the morning and commencements concert in the evening, and then the 22nd will be seminary commencement. So a couple of big events covering a week or so in mid-May.
All right, let's move on to our picks of the week. Gail, would you like to hit lead off?
Yes, and I'm hoping you'll be able to play my movie for me, Martin.
You don't want to do any intro for it?
Yes, I'll do some intro. I've talked before, and those of you that have seen me doing some presenting around last year at the state conference, I talked a lot about two particular apps which I like very much, Doctopus and Gubrick. Doctopus is a delivery system used in Google. It's an extension you can use in Google. And then if you attach Gubrick, another extension, to Doctopus, it lets you attach a rubric to every one of the documents that you're sending out to your students. So, for example, when I have something that I want students to do as an assignment, I can send it out through Doctopus to all of them, it's usually a writing assignment, and they do their writing, and then I can attach Gubrick, the rubric, to it through Gubrick, and they get it actually in their email. They get the rubric in their email after I correct it, put the scores on it, or they can also, it also attaches it right to the document, so right on the bottom of the piece of work that they submit is the rubric. But the cool thing now is that I like those things so much, and they're part of my system so much so that at the beginning of the year when Google Classroom was huge and people were deciding to go with that, I decided not to go with that because at that time you couldn't use these two tools with it. You can now. So
we'll
have to revisit that. Yeah, I'm really excited that they're expanding that out to include a lot of tools so that people don't have to give up something in order for the sake of making it simpler.
Right.
So the cool thing that I wanted to show you today is if you haven't used these tools yet, I'm going to try to twist your arm to take a look at them because now you can make voice comments. So I've talked about Kaizena on the show before, and that was always kind of my go-to for voice comments. It's another app that you can use, and it's good, and it really does some things, too, that that Gubrick doesn't necessarily do. So they're both still good, but I have a hunch that Kaizena's kind of going to go bye-bye in my repertoire because of the Gubrick voice comments, and it's all right in the Google system. You're used to using it. It's very slick. So you can still use the comments on the side like you always can with a Google document. You can still use the rubric that you use with Gubrick, but now you can also add voice comments, which I really like because even whenever I use a rubric, you know, the idea is you just check a few things and the student can read that and tell. But I usually end up writing a half a page anyway
right.
to them. So now I can just speak it to them, and it's much faster to do that than to write all that. So this is...
And they probably appreciate hearing it more than having to read it.
Yeah, I guess studies really show that oral feedback means more than written.
Oh, okay.
Especially with my handwriting, too.
Yeah. And I love this whole new vocabulary that we're getting with Gubrics and Doctopuses, and you know, it's just kind of fun, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's play the little tutorial video you've got here, Gail. Hang on.
Now for Jenny, I want to leave her an audio comment. So in the top right, you see there's this little recording tool. Just click on the record button. Jenny, you're off to a really good start. Why don't you take a look at some of your conventions, though? Remember what we talked about in class last time, and let me know. You can play it back to double check. Jenny, you're off to a really good start. Why don't you take a look at some of your conventions, though? And you have the option to either delete it if you made a mistake, or what's really cool is it saves to Google Drive, so I'm going to click that. It's going to upload it to your Google Drive, and I'll show you where here in a little bit. There's the new audio comment box that's embedded right into this assessment panel at the top. I'm going to submit that. My rubric is pasted, but then down here at the bottom, it's almost like a footnote, and there's a hyperlink to that file that's saved in my drive. The students will have access to this. And they can play it. Jenny, you're off to a really good start. Why don't you take a look at some of your conventions, though? Pretty cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. You have they have their assignment, their writing, then they have the rubric right there, then they have your audio comment right there at the bottom, too, all in one.
Excellent. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Tough to set up or pretty easy?
The first time I did it, it took me a while. You know, there's a lot of steps, but they've improved Octopus. Octopus was really the one that took the longest, and they've made that, the interface for that is much more intuitive now, so not so bad.
Cool. So that's Octopus and Kubrick together. Have a dynamic duo now. So
that's right.
Cool. Sally, pick of the week.
All right, I'm going to share my screen quick, and this one I really struggled with sharing because we're always looking for good videos to feature at the end of Wells Tech, but I just had to share this one as a pick. This is a whole video channel that I've come across called Crash Course, not one that I was aware of before, but they have tons of videos with explanations for all kinds of things, different categories from anatomy and physiology to U.S. history to literature. They do it in a real fast-paced style, certainly appropriate for high school and college students, I would think. You can go into a particular playlist and find all kinds of interesting topics, congressional elections, and just, you know, tap right into it. Sponsored by PBS. And again, very fast-paced and fun to follow, but excellent learning resource. So they come highly recommended, and I'd encourage you to check out Crash Course if you're looking for some resources to enhance at least high school-aged education topics.
Yeah, they look very professionally done. It's something that would be engaging, and you know, for that tough-to-please crowd of high schoolers, might be a good fit if it if the topic fits what you're teaching. So, cool.
Mm-hmm. Check it out.
My pick of the week, and I'm going to abandon trying to screen share on this, so I'll just actually do it the old-fashioned way and hold up my phone, and hopefully you can see it. But my pick of the week is actually Google on iPhone. Now, everybody knows that iPhone has its own, or iOS in general, has its own searching mechanism, and it has Siri. But Google, I prefer actually the voice search and the, you know, the technologies behind Google now. So once you've got Google installed, and it's a free install, it just appears a little icon down here at the bottom. So you got a little Google icon. So I have it, you know, within thumb reach on my home screen on my iPhone. Once you click it or tap it, maybe that's even better with the lights off in my background. Hello. So I've got Google Now up here, and those of you familiar with Google at all, let me pull it over here a little bit, you can just swipe up and you see these series of cards. So it tells me how long it's going to take me to get home, tells me when the Giants are playing next, tells me that that they lost yesterday, that went off the screen, that's good. tells me all my orders from Amazon, so I've got something coming from them, and then weather, all kinds of cards. I think Google does a really nice job with this. But what I wanted to demo, which I really like, is the voice search. Now, everybody knows about Siri, so I'm just going to do a quick comparison of a search term, and you can kind of compare and contrast the difference. So Nepal has been in the news lately, so let me just ask about a little bit, maybe a fact about Mount Everest. Hang on just a second here. Siri, how many people have climbed Mount Everest?
Let me think. Okay, I found this on the web for how many people have climbed Mount Everest.
Okay, so Siri in this case just did a web search, which has been my experience.
Well, she
with
really
Siri.
Does.
She does that a lot.
I would agree.
I don't know what the results will be for Google Now. Hopefully they'll be better. But one nice thing is when you have the Google Now screen open, it will respond with the term OK Google. So now it's open, and I've got to actually stop that again and start it. So let me do this again. OK Google, how many people have climbed Mount Everest?
Magazine, Everest has always been a trophy, but now that almost 4,000 people have reached its summit, some more than once, the feat means less than it did a half century ago. Today, roughly 90% of the climbers on Everest are guided clients, many without basic climbing skills.
So I got more than I even asked for, but she did read to me an article and gave me the information that 4,000 people have reached the summit of Mount Everest. So that's just, I'm happy that the results worked out that way, because that's kind of my point. I like the way Google responds to those kinds of things and seems to provide more relevant information than Siri does. But many people probably didn't know that you could get Google Now on your iPhone. Now, it doesn't work with the home button. You have to just tap the Google icon on your screen and then just say, oh, okay, Google. But very little difference between that and Siri. And again, I like the results better. So just a little bit of a productivity efficiency thing. If you have a smartphone, and if you have an iPhone and maybe aren't pleased with how Siri works, you do have a Google option that can be baked into your phone as well. So,
very good.
That's my pick.
Got to get it installed.
Okay. And it's free. So no charge for the tip or for the tool. So move on to community feedback.
Sure. I heard recently from a friend of mine, Stephanie Zastro, I shouldn't call her that. Stephanie Arndt. Sorry, Stephanie. She's a married lady now. Stephanie Arndt, who is a volunteer for Wells Special Ministries, and she works particularly with the military services area. And she wanted everyone to know that you can refer your favorite service people to Wells for the support that Wells offers to them. And this is for anyone serving. It doesn't have to be that they're deployed or overseas or anything like that. If they're serving in the military, you just head on over to the military services page on the Wells website. There's a link there to an online referral form, and it just gathers information about their service and location, and we'll certainly put them into the database and make contact with them and supply them with support through our special ministries area. And they're always looking for new names and to connect, and it's you folks who know the people serving in military that can share this opportunity with them and help them get signed up. So we just wanted to put a plug in for Wells Military Services. Next up, we wanted to highlight another reason to take the hymn survey. We've talked about this before. The Wells Hymnal Project is currently surveying folks about what their favorite hymns are. And we've included a link in the past to a survey that you guys can take. There's a simple version. There's a more complex version, depending on how much time you want to spend on it. Now there's a student version. And along with that, there are teacher resources. So they've put together a teacher lesson plan around the hymn survey to help teachers introduce it to their students and things like that. They've got printable forms that you can use with your class. They've got a group reporting system that you can make use of. So if you're a student or if you're a teacher, they're hoping for your response to the favorite hymn survey by May 31st. So check out the links in the show notes.
Nice. Very appropriate for the show theme today.
Right. Absolutely. We heard from our friend Pastor Rob Gunther. Actually, I should introduce him as the newest entry, the newest Pinterest member, Pastor Rob Gunther, because he recently joined Pinterest. Yay, Pastor Gunther, good for you.
Who knew Sally was keeping score?
It told me. I got this email that said, your friend, Pastor Rob Gunther, has joined Pinterest. And I immediately emailed him and told him to be sure to contact Martin if he had any questions or needed any help with that.
And he has wisely not done so.
Anyway, he did send us a link to myscriptfont.com, a place where you can print out a grid, write your own handwriting in, and it will create a font of your own handwriting.
That's
thought that
cool.
was pretty cool. And it's free. So check out myscriptfont.com if you want to have to give that a try.
It should be myscribblefont.com in my case.
Another resource shared via our Digo library from Pastor Tim Wagner was 1200pics.com. It is a resource of free photos. And so if you're looking for some imagery, this may be a site to add to your list. I checked out their licensing, and it's Creative Commons Zero. It's completely free to use for any purpose, commercial, non-commercial, repurpose, whatever. And the pictures are super high quality, so definitely want to add this to your place to look for new imagery for whatever your projects are. Thanks, Pastor Wagner, for that link. And then finally, a quick shout out to our friend Cindy Krieger, who's a member at Shepherd of the Hills in Lansing, Michigan. Cindy was recently over on our Wells Tech Wiki updating the live streaming page and also the archive video page, adding some new resources. But she did something beyond just updating the wiki. Martin, I don't know if you saw this on Facebook, but Cindy shared on Facebook a link to the page with this comment. She said, "Can't make it to church on Sunday or just longing to hear God's word? Check out this site for recorded or live stream church services." And then in parentheses she said, "If your church is not listed, message me the church name, location, and web link." So she's volunteering to update the Wells Tech Wiki on behalf of congregations out there. I thought that was just a really awesome way to share God's word, to let your light shine, and to help other people find these resources. So it doesn't have to be just us insider, Wells Techer people that are promoting this kind of stuff. You guys can take the initiative and put it out there and share it with your channel and your group on your very own. And thank you, Cindy, very much for doing that.
Very nice. Thanks, Cindy.
Mm-hmm. That's going to do it for community feedback for this week.
Well, I tweeted a couple things that I'd like to share that apparently were overlooked in the process. So let me. They weren't on Pinterest, so that's probably why you missed them.
I actually looked at Twitter, but I didn't look at your particular account. I
hashtagged them.
Sorry.
So one of them is from a company called Heinz Marketing, which I don't know them from a hole in the wall, but they had a nice blog post here called 10 Simple Habits to Jumpstart Your Productivity. I'm always looking for productivity tips, and there's a couple that resonated with me right away. Wake up earlier, which I'm now in the process of doing. First things first sounds familiar, right? We just finished a book talking about trying put things first. Idea capture and triage, email discipline, know your energy patterns, which is kind of an interesting paragraph there. Something that they're recommending called the daily do, just that one thing that has to get done today. Make sure that that is done there. 2-minute rule, 5-minute rule, anytime tasks available anywhere, which is kind of a way to make sure you always have the ability to knock something off of your to-do list no matter where you are. And take care of yourself. Sleep, exercise, rest. So just a real concise article. It's not going to take you a long time. It'll take you 5 minutes or less to read, but some good tips there. And the second, which I thought you would be interested in, Sally, is Rubik's Cube world record is now 5.25 seconds. So an American teenager, Colin Burns, competing in a high school competition last Saturday and broke the 3x3x3 Rubik's Cube record, which I think had been 5.55 seconds from somebody in the Netherlands. Now it's brought back to America, 5.25 seconds.
That's amazing. They must have had it well greased. I'm telling you, those cubes can really fly if you got them greased up. But that's just stunning time.
Yeah.
Exciting news.
For whatever that's worth.
that's exciting.
All right. Should we move on to, we do have a ministry resource this week. Sally, what do we got?
We do. I think we recently talked about the Google Cultural Institute, where Google's pulling together different important resources. I came across the fact that they have the Dead Sea Scrolls available now. And we've talked about in the past that they were going to be putting up the Dead Sea Scrolls, but now you can actually get over to the project site. You can look at the scrolls. You can actually view it and then zoom in. Maybe I have to come down a little bit to zoom in. But you can zoom to a pretty decent level, and if you know how to read these things, you can have access to the Dead Sea Scrolls. This is the Great Isaiah Scroll right here.
I saw a piece of that in when it was here in Milwaukee. I don't know if you guys have seen that display.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when I saw the piece, it was about maybe 3 inches square, and you know, it was very small compared to what I was expecting to see. And
no,
so
I saw
here,
a longer slice.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, absolutely, that's online. That makes sense that it would be there as well. So. Next week, something close to your heart, Sally. What are we doing?
That's right. Next Wednesday, May 6th, is something we're calling MLC Day. It's our first ever celebration of MLC, and we're going to be doing that through social channels. Looking forward to a big day of sharing, a lot of fun events, a lot of joy around, especially this spring season as we're approaching graduation and assignment, and just the wonderful work and blessings that God has showered upon Martin Luther College. And so to that end, on the eve of MLC Day, we're going to have VP Mike Otterstatter from the Mission Advancement Office at MLC join us for the podcast and tell us a little bit about what to expect so that you guys are all in the know about MLC Day and the fun we have planned. Looking forward to it.
Very cool. We also have a featured video, YouTube video.
Yep, and this goes back to something we talked about sharing God's Word and Echoes of the Hammer from Concordia Publishing House. They actually have a promo video of the graphic novel that's very well done. It'll give you an idea of what to expect in the Echoes of the Hammer graphic novel. So if you're interested at all in that tool, maybe watching this will help you understand what you're going to get for sharing with your students or in whatever format you want to share it.
Concordia seems to be, you know, right in there with taking some nice hacks at good media kinds of content. We mentioned the Catechism on the mobile version of the Catechism, but we've talked about some of their other resources before. This is just another example of them kind of being kind of hip. Graphic novels are really popular.
Very popular.
This one's a nice one, so check it out. Gail, thank you very much for joining us again. We really appreciate it, and I know our viewing audience really loves it when you get on, too. They always say, more Gail. We try to give as much Gail as possible. So, thanks.
Well, I enjoy being able to visit.
Very good. And Sally, thanks for your hard work as usual. And all of you listeners, viewers out there, please join us again next week. We do this show live every week, Tuesday afternoons at 4 o'clock Central. But you can watch or view us anytime thereafter. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, right on our website, wellstech.wells.net. Just lots of places to find us. And if you have comments, questions, things that you'd like us to talk about or cover, guests that you'd like us to interview, let us know. Just go to the website or send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.